Welcome back to Ed Gaines Radio, a little Major League Baseball hot stove, because we're not just the NFL here, and we're going to have a great lineup the rest of the week on golf with Peter Costas on Wednesday, and much more. But right now, it's baseball time with Jim Beattie, and Jim, I thought I'd start off by a quote about Carlos Lee and one of the major acquisitions before we talk about Barry Bonds.
Carlos Lee was, I think, probably the best bat other than Soriano in the free agency, and Carlos Lee had a Texas tie. But I think one of the reasons they wanted to tie him up early is they had one of the bottom-performing offenses last year, and in order to convince Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit that maybe they should think about coming back and pitching another year, they went out and got one of the best bats to help their offense. The other things they've got to do to build up that lineup, they're trying to get done quickly, and I think that's all part and parcel of trying to convince Clemens and Pettit to come on back. You're going to have a better club behind you.
Well, that was last week, and things really haven't seemed to progress a great deal. Besides Carlos Lee, as you gain another week's perspective, Jim, what do you think are the best acquisitions so far this year?
Well, it's when they have gone out and tried to spend some money, I think the clubs that have been most aggressive, I think that have been out there saying, we know the money's going to be higher. We know we have to do something. I would say Lee and Soriano probably are too. And from what I understand, although I have not seen him throw, Matsuzaka from Japan may be the best starting pitcher out there, but certainly untested in the major league market, still to be signed. And I think the Red Sox, in their negotiations, from what I understand, are a little concerned that Boris is trying to make it a 3-year contract or maybe a 4-year contract. And from the Red Sox point of view, to spend $51 million, they'd like to at least have the option of keeping the guy under contract for 6 years. But I think the big hitters out there have been probably the better contracts, and from teams that needed to do something. The Cubs needed to go out there and do something in the market, get a bat like Soriano. They went out and got the manager and Lou Piniella, and one, you got to satisfy your fans. But from the Cubs' point of view now, they've got a new manager they have to satisfy as well.
Do you think also that the signing of Soriano marks a new era in free agency where they really do respect players even when they get into their mid-30s more than they did before?
Well, they do these days. I think with the training that everybody does year-round and the athleticism, I mean, especially with some starting pitchers, have we seen the elderly starting pitchers still out there? Messina just signed again with the Yankees. You still got Randy Johnson, who's pitching, and Clemens, certainly. Clemens is still out there. Guys are saying that they can play into the mid-30s is not such a big deal. I would say probably the only position that you have some concern about still playing behind the dish at the age of 35, and as a catcher, that is pretty tough on your knees.
What about Tom Glavine? Do you think that Atlanta was a little bit too slow, wasn't aggressive enough, and if they had been, would they have had a shot?
Well, I think Atlanta, from the way they're approaching things in the offseason, I think they're not going to be big buyers in the free agent market. I mean, their finances have changed in the last few years. They've been bought. They've got a different approach in the way they're trying to put together their team. They're trying to keep their young players, develop their young players, and hopefully they end up with another trio like they had when they had Glavine, Maddux, and Smoltz, and they've got to try to find those guys. But they are not really the big spenders. The one problem with them, you know, Tim Hudson came over there and has not performed the way he was in Oakland. He's been just so-so in Atlanta and has still had some of his injuries. He may actually be a guy that Atlanta says, you know, we're not quite where we need to be right now. We want to get there, and maybe we have to take a step back, and maybe they look to trade a starting pitcher like Hudson, who certainly would be in big demand. Many of the contracts from the free agents and players of the last couple years are looking awfully good in this free agent market. When you've got a guy like Tejada for 3 years and $38 million he's owed, you know, he goes out and he's potential to be traded if the Orioles decide to go that way. That contract looks awfully good on the open market right now.
But it seems like Atlanta, they may have different ownership, but with John Schuerholz, who was on the show a couple months ago, his bread and butter has always been the starting pitching, and it surprises me that they haven't been more aggressive that way.
Well, that's true. I know John has publicly said that that's the way they've won in the past, and that's what they want to get back to do that. But you know, when you're trying to compete in the free agent market, and if there's not really a big big guy, I would say the big guy in the free agent market would be Zito. For me, Glavin is older, certainly, and it seemed like he had some thoughts about going back, but at the same time, the Mets didn't really blow the bank in re-signing Glavin. I believe it was just a one-year deal with maybe a potential for an option year. But
a paltry $10.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge contract for Glavin, so certainly there's one or two things. Either they said, we don't like where Tommy Glavin is right now, how he's pitching, how effective he is, or we just can't afford him. And if they can't afford him, they're certainly not going to find a better deal in the market.
And likewise, it also shows that there's a lot of confidence the players with the Mets have in the direction that that organization is going. Now, let's switch to Barry Bonds. I mean, it seems to me that the signings of a Carlos Lee and an Alfonso Soriano has really strengthened his position. But the only team, really, that I think is going to bid for him is, again, the Giants. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the Giants have been trying their best to see if there's another big bat in the market that they can get and maybe give themselves an excuse not to bring Barry back. Or if they bring him back, as big a pressure, at least team-wise, to bring him back. I'd have to say that the only fans in baseball that really cheer for Barry Bonds in any case would be the San Francisco fans. I mean, I think given everything that they've gone through, They've seen Barry at his greatest. They still have a love in their heart for him somewhere, and I think that if he's going to go out there and play this year and break Aaron's record, that I think the San Francisco fans would appreciate it, at least some sort of a payback for the trouble that they've gone through in staying with him over all these years. And I think that in the end, the Giants will find themselves in a position that they did not offer him arbitration, so that's at least showing their hand a little bit, that if they do re-sign him, they want him to take a pay cut. And I'd have to think that he would have to take a pay cut regardless of all the other stuff. And I think there's a lot of other general managers and teams out there that aren't really going to put up a fuss and say, no, we want him instead. I don't know if there's a huge market. His agent Jeff Boris says, we're talking to clubs, but I think that's more posturing than anything else. I think there's not a lot of talk out there other than maybe kicking tires on Barry, but when teams really sit down and think about the entire package that you're going to have to go through in answering questions, especially the general manager and the manager, why did you bring a guy like that into this team, and everything else that goes with that before you even get to spring training, then when you actually get the guy in the field, it's a whole new situation. I think the Giants have dealt with it, and they're probably best put together and ready to deal with it again.
That's when it comes down to the ego thing of whether Barry is capable of actually understanding and acknowledging that it is time to take a salary cut. And, you know, Len Dawson, who covers sports at ABC Television in Kansas City and has done so for many, many years as their sports director. Len, we never talked to you about other sports, but in your situation, if you're a general manager with San Francisco, do you insist on a pay cut, and would you actually be aggressive in retaining Barry Bonds?
Which one do you want first? I would say the pay cut is reasonable at this stage of his career. I'm assuming, and I don't know. Do you know how much he's making?
He's up there at about 18, I believe.
$18 million a year? I think he can afford to pay cut if he wants to, you know, to play it, if he wants to break the record. But that would be something that he should seriously consider. Now, other teams wanting him? I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, you know, the baggage that he is bringing, you know, do you need that? Like a team like Kansas City who needs somebody who can hit the long ball. I mean, they're rebuilding. You know, George might do it because Steinbrenner, because you know, he's dealt with problem children before. But you know, there's a lot of baggage that comes along with Barry Bonds.
There sure is. Well, listen, we'll be right back talking NFL with Len Dawson and Jim Beattie. Thanks again, sir, for your Major League Baseball report. Appreciate it.
You bet, Nick. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. Great job. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.